Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Right now, joining us on the show, guy who's a former NFL tight end, played at Colorado. Also, you find him filling in at times, being a host at 104.3 out in Colorado. Chad Brown joining us on the show tonight. Chad, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Chad, Jimmy Garoppolo signs a mega deal. Is he worth the money?
In such a quarterback league where, you know, not all 32 teams have a quarterback that they're happy with, worth the money? I suppose at this point it kind of feels like monopoly money sometimes with these numbers being tossed around. I mean, $74 million total guaranteed dollars to a guy who started seven games doesn't feel like he's worth it. But having a chance to see him play, I called their game against Tennessee late in the season, he certainly is a leader on that team, a guy who has all the physical attributes, certainly seems to have all the mental attributes as well, if you watch some of those mic'd up sessions with him when his teammates on the sidelines. And I had a chance to talk to John Lynch. He said, you know, that organization turned around once he became the starter for them. So those are the kind of things that are difficult to put a value on. So I'll say yes, even though it's not my money.
Chad Brown joining us on the show. Yeah, well, you know, I see a lot of teams, and it's just a have or have not league, Chad, and you know this better than a lot of people, that it's just, even if you think you have that quarterback, if there's any sort of an inkling at all, you're just going to give that guy the money and away you go, because I think we've seen it in Seattle right now as that roster starts to fluctuate with Russell Wilson really for the first time, that you always had a reset button if you do have a franchise quarterback.
They give you such a soft place to land if things on the roster don't go right in other positions. Now, Seattle was able to build their defensive side of the ball because they didn't spend much money at the quarterback position in Russell Wilson's first couple seasons. So that's really what the identity of that team was. But once you start paying a guy franchise money like Russell Wilson makes now, then he shifts the team's focus and becomes the most important part of what they do, just because he is the, you know, 20% of the salary cap, in some cases 25% of the salary cap. So these guys who are at those franchise dollars, the teams have to build the team around them and count on those guys to be special on each and every Sunday.
Chad Brown joining us, former linebacker, three-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro joining us on the show. When you were in New England a couple of times, what's the difference between New England and everybody else? You
well,
just laugh. Oh boy!
Segment, or am I going to be on for like five or six segments?
I keep you forever if you want to. I don't have a problem with it.
Well, obviously it starts with Bill Belichick and his ability to teach the details of the game to everybody. And the best way I can describe it is I played for Bill Cowher in Pittsburgh, and we wanted to go out and just overwhelm people with how hard we played. Once you, if you've watched any of those, you know, mic'd up segments for Bill Cowher, at some point he's going to say, go out there and punch him in the mouth first. And now, of the 16 games during the regular season, I bet he probably said that before the opening kickoff, at least every other game. Go out there and punch him in the mouth first. So he wanted his teams to be ultra aggressive. And we played that way, and it was a fantastic way to go out and play football. We weren't always the smartest football team. We weren't always the cleanest playing football team. But simply by being able to overwhelm people with how hard you played, that was certainly a winning formula. And then in Seattle, I had Mike Holmgren, you know, very professorial with his glasses down on the tip of his nose, calling plays on the sideline, running the same West Coast Bill Walsh-style offense. So whether it was Matt Hasselbeck or Trent Dilfer or Brock Huard, everyone was running the same system. It was about repeating the successful plays that have been proven from the 49ers on forward. If we can just do that, if we can run these plays perfectly and our quarterback can put the ball on the inside shoulder when our receiver gets that inside number, we'll be successful. Then you go to New England and a guy like Bill Belichick, his thing is there's a play to be made. And any player who's ever been involved in organized football at a level, has had a coach ask them when they make a mistake, what were you doing? What were you thinking out there? And the player will say something like, well, I was just trying to make a play. And Bill Belichick's answer to that every time is, why don't you try making the right play? So his detailed style of teaching teaches all 11 players on the field in that particular play, in this particular situation, there is a right play to make. And if we get our guys not making the athletic play, not making the spectacular play, but all 11 guys making the right play, whatever your position may be, left guard to, you know, the Z receiver, we get everybody making the right play, then we'll find ways to win ball games. And obviously that formula has been proven to be very successful as well.
Did he make a mistake with Malcolm Butler?
You know, I would say yes. There are a couple of games a year, I think, for the Patriots, and sometimes I think we notice this on a Monday morning when maybe you didn't get a chance to watch the game and you look at the Patriots stats or the score and you go, whoa, what happened? Where Bill guesses wrong, whether it's trying to sit a player down, whether it's seeing something on tape late in the week and trying to change the game plan that late in the week. Sometimes, you know, even a guy who has been around the game as long as Bill and has made so many right guesses, occasionally he guesses wrong. And I would say when he does that, he's probably about 80-85% correct. But sometimes it goes wrong for him. And in a game that literally was decided by just a couple of plays, and we saw some of those passes that Nick Foles threw, to think a guy like Malcolm Butler, who had played the most defensive snaps for any Patriot defender all season long, wouldn't have been able to help and make just one more play than his replacements, it's hard to believe. I think Malcolm Butler was missed out there during the Super Bowl for the Patriots.
Chad Brown joining us, former All-Pro linebacker, had a long career. What was your secret to having such a long career?
Man, well, obviously luck. You know, this game can be cruel, but for me, I was very lucky, genetically blessed. You know, thanks, Mom and Dad, for making me 6'3", 245 pounds. I can't take any credit for that. I married a woman after my rookie year who, you know, fed me well, always was concerned about, you know, how I was eating, how my body felt, made a nice, soft home for me, and was always my biggest cheerleader. And so I give all those folks credit. And at the very end, yes, I worked really hard and never getting out of shape. There was not a season in the NFL after my first 2 years where I was not starting my off-season training process the Monday after the Super Bowl. So I could never ever get out of shape. I was always just trying to maintain it.
I was just always assuming that guys waited maybe a couple of weeks and then got back into it. You were there the Monday after everything ended and right there after it?
I was not always back in the team facility that Monday.
Of course.
I was down in my basement. You know, I've got a complete weight room down there. I've got one of those amazing treadmills they have in the NFL facilities. So there was never a time where, yes, after my first 2 years in the league, where that Monday did not start my off-season training program.
As a guy who played for some head coaches that were pretty, pretty famous there, what did you think of the whole thing with Josh McDaniels there, Chad, where he decides he's not going to go to Indianapolis?
Well, you know, I clearly can see both sides of this. I think Josh handled it wrong at some point. When you start having doubts and you're not sure what you're going to do, you've got to be able to communicate to those folks who are changing plans based on what you said earlier. So those assistant coaches, those three assistant coaches who ended up signing with the Colts before Josh backed out of the deal, that's not how you treat friends. That's not how you treat people. I think Josh has unfortunately burned some bridges across the NFL, you know, didn't have the best experience out here in Denver with the Denver Broncos. That kind of tarnished his reputation. Spent some years getting that reputation back. Now just kind of blows it all again. But there's something to be said for being comfortable with where you work and being comfortable with the people who you work with. The general manager of the Patriots went to John Carroll with Josh 2 decades ago. Those guys mm-hmm. know each other. So when Bill Belichick steps aside, he already knows he's on the same page as the general manager. The ownership from the Krafts, perhaps Mr. Kraft will retire and his son Jonathan will take over. Well, Josh is already very good friends and has known those guys for a long time as well. So I think the Colts thing was intriguing. He obviously thought he could probably have some luck with a guy like Andrew Luck and take him to the next level. But in the end, the comfort of knowing who you're going to be working with long term, I think, overshadowed everything else for Josh. So he's kind of probably ruined himself for any other head coaching job around the league. But in the end, I think he will be the head coach of the New England Patriots once Bill Belichick retires. And it'll be a very smooth transition for him and for the organization, for the craft. And the fact that he's on the same page with the general manager today only makes the relationship that much closer when that time finally comes.
Former All-Pro linebacker, current broadcaster Chad Brown joining us on the show. Do you think Nick Foles is a franchise quarterback?
I do not think Nick Foles is a franchise quarterback. I kind of want to put him in the Joe Flacco territory where, yeah, he's a quarterback who can get you into the playoffs, but it's going to have to be one of those lucky postseasons where he gets able to kind of hit it fast like he did this postseason. I don't think this is going to be the case year in and year out for Nick Foles. I think we'll see kind of what we saw when he first stepped into the starting role late in the regular season. One good game, one not so good game, and one okay game. And that kind of play at the quarterback position, considering the Eagles roster, the depth they had at defensive line, the number of receivers they had, the offensive line up front, you can win games, get into the playoffs with that kind of roster, with that kind of play at quarterback. But he's not a truly elite quarterback in the Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers category.
With the chances of Wentz getting hurt, I know we don't have a ton of time, but the chances of Wentz getting hurt or him being slow to recover, what would you do if you were Philadelphia? Would you trade that, or would you hold on to Nick Foles?
Well, now with in-season trades becoming more and more popular over the last couple of seasons, I would hang on to him until I was absolutely certain Carson Wentz was healthy, was confident in that knee, and was playing at a high level. And if that happened before the trade deadline, then I've got this extremely valuable piece that most other teams are lacking, that quarterback who can really be the franchise guy. And I would use that because at some point injuries are going to come up. Something's going to come up for this Eagles team on their chance, on their efforts to repeat as Super Bowl champions. So you got this piece of Nick Foles you can discard, great trade value, and get that missing piece you may need due to injury, whatever the case may be.
Chad, we thank you very much for the time. By the way, I accidentally called you a tight end when you first came on. I'm sorry. That was a brain fart by me.
Well,
I apologize.
You're thinking of my Colorado teammate, Christian Fourier, probably. He and I look alike, but I don't say as much dumb stuff on radio as he did last week.
That's very true. That's very true, Chad. Chad, thank you for the time. And again, hope to run you down again and hopefully to have you on again, sir.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.